Texas lawmakers, they don't like to give power to the people. They protect those in power. I know this because I used to live there and I've seen it firsthand. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about Dr. Incompetent, License to Butcher. This episode is another true medical crime, and I'm joined by my true crime-loving friend, Mel.
Hello!
You know, normally, I like covering old murders.
Of course.
One of the reasons is because it feels more like a story than that are real people. That it feels more like a story that's not real people. Like, it's a story.
Right.
And the families of current people, they're destroyed, and it's their lives are destroyed by, you know, an act of murder or...
It seems more real.
Right. Mayhem. Or, you know yeah, what I mean.
I know what you mean.
My heart just hurts a lot more when it's more current event.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe why I get more excited with the older ones.
Yeah.
And I am more excited about, like, the different ways that people kind of murder or, like, the creativity of it all, yeah. You know, sometimes. I don't know.
There's a reason true crime is so popular. People like hearing about that kind of
stuff.
Yeah, but
it still seems so wrong. It, just like with carnival acts, right? You're so intrigued by them because it's not something that you see. But you wouldn't wish anyone to be that way.
Right.
You don't want anyone to be murdered or have their family mutilated. Anyway, okay, I digress. But this guy is a monster. And the reason I want to tell the story is because I want our listeners to be educated that this could happen to someone you know, and hopefully you can prevent it. So let's get into it. This is about the butchery of Dr. Christopher Dunch. It's spelled D-U-N-T-S-C-H. He's a very incompetent neurosurgeon was practicing in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. In fact, he worked in the same hospital system I started out in.
Oh, wow.
The media labeled him, surprise, surprise, Dr. Death.
I knew that was coming.
I know. Come on. Be original.
God.
I'm calling him Dr. Incompetent. That's
what I like it.
And you will see why. He was said to be overconfident, narcissistic, sociopathic, drug addictive, and he had a scalpel ready to kill.
Oh, no.
So how did this inadequate doctor become this way? Well, he was born to parents that were a teacher and a physical therapist.
Okay.
In Montana in 1971. He really wanted to play football like most boys do. His college teammates said that he had trouble keeping up with practice, but he was good at persuasion. And if the coaches let him, he would try even harder. When he made up his mind to be a neurosurgeon, he wasn't going to let anything get in his way. I've heard this before, where an inadequate medical student went on to become an inadequate doctor and was killing people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean all inadequate doctors end up being murderers. But this guy, inadequacy was almost worse than murder. He started off at the University of Memphis in 2006.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is super recent.
Yeah, not too long ago. He went to school at the University of Tennessee in Memphis College of Medicine. He became a member of the Alpha Omega Medical Honor Society. He studied cancer and stem cell research. He helped co-found a biopharmaceutical company called Disagenix. But shocker, he was later dismissed because of money issues. And while still in school, he started to take LSD and cocaine.
Uh-oh.
A little bit of alcohol.
That's not a good thing to mix with practicing medicine.
No.
In my opinion.
He would spend all night doing these drugs.
Oh.
And then go do hospital rounds.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was said in some of the articles that cocaine can cause paranoia and cause you to not want to be around people.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't have that problem.
Okay.
He wanted to go to work. He felt like these drugs were helping enhance his skills.
Mm.
Someone had a conscience and reported him to the university anonymously. He was able to avoid a drug test, though. And he was able to just do time at a rehab for impaired physicians.
Mm.
And that was enough for them to let him finish his training.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So
they could have caught this early on.
Failure number one.
Yeah.
A typical neurosurgeon resident is supposed to complete at least 1,000 hours of training.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many he did?
Not nearly that many, I'm sure.
100.
No. What?
Less than 100.
What?
Yep. He got away with less than 100.
Is this guy a sociopath? Was he really charming and kind of got his way because he was manipulative?
Yep.
Yeah.
He was, definitely. So he was, like I said, persuasive and he was... Yeah, they labeled him as a sociopath. His resume was pretty flowered. I mean, he co-founded a pharmaceutical company. He was an honor student. He had lots of hours of research.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make you a neurosurgeon.
No.
So he did land a job in a place called a Spine Institute of Plano. It's a very affluent part of Dallas. It's in the north part.
Okay.
I used to live very close to there. And it's very well known for drugs among their rich, especially in the high school. Mm-hmm. Yep, they definitely have a drug problem there. It's a rich area, so it's like they have the best of the best, which is what, cocaine?
Yeah, right? That's what the rich kids do, right? According to TV, anyway.
So he started out with privileges at the Baylor Regional Medical Center in Plano. That is the same system I started out at.
I've heard of Baylor before. Maybe from
Baylor's
you.
Baylor's pretty big.
But I think outside of you, though, I think
I've heard of Baylor. Well, there's a Baylor University.
Okay.
It's not related to the Baylor Regional Medical Center.
Oh, it's not. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Baylor Regional, they have many different hospitals in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I worked in one not too far from Plano in a rich area. They're not called Baylor Regionals anymore. It's like Baylor Scott and White. They merged twice, and they merged with a company Scott and White that was out of like Austin or something.
Oh, okay.
So they're not that anymore. But back then it was, and it was in Plano. So his coworker said he was arrogant, but he didn't have a reason to be because he was clearly a dangerous surgeon.
Yeah.
They said he messed up very simple procedures.
Okay. And he's a neurosurgeon. Mm. That is scary.
Yeah, he's a doctor pretending to be a neurosurgeon, I guess.
Yeah.
So side note, there is a TV series on Peacock. I don't remember the name of it, but Christian Slater plays the doctor that first called him out on his incompetence.
Oh.
I used to have a big crush on Slater when I was young, and I met him in a hotel that I worked at.
Oh.
He gave me his empty water bottle to throw away. And I did. And I almost kept it as a souvenir, but I thought that would be kind of weird. Keep the DNA or something.
Keep the DNA and clone him later.
But ironically, he was there to speak at a drug convention.
Oh.
So he used to be a drug user.
Okay.
And then got clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't AA, but it was some type of, you know.
There's like Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah, something like that. So he used to speak. So I thought it was kind of ironic that he's playing the doctor that called out the doctor that was using drugs.
That's funny.
Okay, and then another side note. There is a podcast about this doctor.
Okay.
And surprise, surprise, it's called Dr. Death.
Of course it is. How unoriginal can you be?
I know. I'm glad that there's a podcast about it, but because it goes into a lot of details.
Yeah.
But come on. Okay. God. There's so many Dr. Deaths. Anyway, this doctor watched Dunch use the wrong instrument to remove a disc that caused a lot more damage. The patient did not die, but has to live with a cane for the rest of their life.
No. Is this a intervertebral disc? Is that what you...
I don't know what section of the spine it was.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a disc that I guess wasn't supposed to... Well, they removed the disc, but they removed it with the wrong instrument.
Oh.
To do, and that did a lot of damage. Because there is instruments made for specific things for a reason.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this because this is not a limited thing that happened. He would do these things over and over.
Oh, my God.
Most people fear back surgery. It's got a bad reputation. It's got a bad...
Oh, for sure.
You know, people fear it because there's a lot of horror stories out there.
Yeah.
But it's come a long way in the last few decades. And it's not because of incompetent surgeons. It is a tricky surgery.
Oh, for sure.
But this guy was being given simple surgeries because he was messing up the big ones.
Oh my God.
I think he messed up one or two, and then they're like, okay, we're only giving you the little easy ones.
But they
ones.
Still kept giving him surgeries.
That, yep. Yep. Number two.
Yeah.
So his inadequate skill was not improved by his continued drug use.
He was using, I wouldn't think so.
He was using before surgeries. He felt like it enhanced his skills. And obviously not. I mean, come on, dude. One woman, all she needed was a compressed nerve fixed. So it's very simple, right? Very simple nerve to fix. Or very simple compression to fix. He ended up cutting a vessel that was kind of important to the spinal cord. Mm-hmm. And she bled to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, should have ended someone's career, right?
You would think.
Something that simple for a neurosurgeon. And like, that's the easiest surgery a neurosurgeon can do.
Yeah.
Is a laminectomy. This is Texas. Other patients don't get to see his track record. So it's right. Not like you can go, how many other surgeries have done? How many have been successful? Well, none. Really?
Not a single successful one. Not really. Not somebody really. Died.
Yeah.
But you don't get to know that.
They don't get to know that. Everything's like hush hush. So he lost his privileges with Baylor.
Okay.
But here's the thing. They were doing an investigation and they said he was going to lose his privileges.
Okay.
But he quit before they did that, which means they didn't have to report him.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So I found over the years, losing privileges doesn't really mean a whole lot. I used to work in a hospital in Southern California that had a list of surgeons that were to lose their privileges to practice for one reason or another. Usually it was some type of paperwork thing. It wasn't because they were incompetent or something like that.
They didn't do their HR training or something.
Yeah. It was something silly. And I would see their names on this list and they put it out every day or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I would see that I have a patient that was supposed to have surgery with that that doctor the next day, but they still had their surgery. And they still practiced. They didn't really lose their privileges.
What privileges did they lose then?
They didn't lose anything. So it's not like I can go to the patient and say, your doctor's on a list of doctors that have lost privileges to work here.
I feel like I'd want to know that. I'd be like, you know right. what? I'm going to go get a second opinion. So it was a really tricky
situation because what do I do? And I did go up to the higher ups and I'm like, why are they getting to work on these patients? Well, the simple answer is they're short staffed. It was a rural area and it's not like there was a lot of doctors to choose from. And I guess they knew that so they could get away with.
So right. If you're not very good at your job, go to a rural area. They'll let you practice either way.
Yeah. It always scares me because my folks live here.
Yeah.
And I'm always worried because they don't have the greatest doctors there.
Yeah.
And if you need a doctor, you need to go about an hour away to a real hospital.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the hospital I worked at wasn't bad. The nurses are great. They'll, you know, that's the only saving grace, really. But
right.
There are some really good doctors, too, there. But there was a lot. There was one doctor that was horrible. He was a endocrinologist. And my family members were seeing him. My mom was seeing him. And I was like, don't see. Like, he's made so many mistakes in the hospital.
Yeah.
Done the wrong orders. Done people wrong. And all of my family members have seen for themselves and they all fired them and went to someone else.
Yeah.
Except for my stepdad, who refuses to give him up. So in that case, he knows better.
Yeah.
So if something happens, it's on him.
Right.
Right. So right. Other than that,
as long as patients know and can make the choice, but it sounds like this was not the case with this guy.
Anyway, so my point is that losing privileges isn't as dramatic as it seems.
Right.
So he actually did resign and they didn't have to report him to the National Practitioner Data Bank.
Could they still have reported him if they wanted to?
They still could have.
But they just decided not to.
And so one of the reasons they don't have to is because then it looks bad on you as a hospital for having let him work there, right? And they did regret it later.
Uh-huh.
They did regret it. But they...
That doesn't bring people back to life.
No.
Regretting it later.
So before the dust even settled, this guy got a job at the Dallas Medical Center. I have friends who work there too.
Oh.
He got his start doing surgeries again before they even did his reference checks. I mean, I've had non-important jobs where I couldn't even set foot to work until my references and my background check was done.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah,
this guy is doing surgeries before any of that's done.
Neurosurgeries.
I think it's because it's a good old boy system and they're like, oh, you should be fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Because he's a man and he's a white guy and he's, you know,
he
in
can
the
do
Dallas
what he wants.
Elite. Yep.
Yep.
So one of those surgeries was on a woman. I saw a documentary on her on him and she was featured. He messed up, caused her bleeding, and sort of just stitched her up. So she couldn't quite wake up when she was supposed to. And she was transferred to another hospital, probably a trauma hospital, and then she died. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. And then while that was going on, he started working on a woman that needed hardware. And the staff in the operating room said he did not seem to know where to put the hardware.
Oh, my God.
They said he kept
drilling. Maybe he should have done his clinical hours.
Well, of course he should. He kept drilling and removing screws.
Oh.
And then she woke up later, and she was not only in pain, but she couldn't move.
Oh, my God. He's a butcher.
So doctors were reporting him to try and stop him. In one of the documentaries I watched, they said a resident stopped him during surgery, literally put their hands over the patient and told him, no, you're not working anymore on this patient, and asked him to leave.
Wow.
This guy was pretty arrogant. So he oftentimes would say, no, there's nothing wrong, or wouldn't report that he did something wrong.
Of course he wouldn't.
So a doctor named Robert Henderson also was called to fix quite a few of his mistakes. One of the patients had vocal cords and an artery cut.
Oh, God.
Yep. He had a reputation among doctors that was like, avoid that guy. You need to avoid that guy.
Oh,
but
my
it's
God.
Too bad they didn't tell the public that.
All these people knew this.
Yeah, the doctors knew. So I'm sure the doctors
all
weren't
recommending
him. All
these other doctors knew.
But a patient wouldn't know that. They wouldn't know. Anyway, he had reports into the Texas State Medical Board, but they didn't seem to really care. It doesn't really mean much in Texas. They just kind of overlook a lot of crap. I don't know why. But so in 2013, he just continued to work. Ugh. And this time for a place called the University General. I've never heard of it, so I'm not sure where it's at. I think it might be south of Houston. I'm not even sure. This time at this hospital, he saw a man that he with what he thought was a tumor, but it really was a neck muscle.
Oh, my God.
So, okay, I'm about to go over some of the cases. Overall, there's 38 of them. I'm not going over all 38. A lot of them are redundant. So if you're squeamish, be warned, because I'm about to tell you the devastating things that he did. Ready?
Ready.
Okay.
I'm not squeamish.
Well, if
the
you
listeners
are,
might
if you're,
be.
If you're a listener that's squeamish, fast forward a bit. Okay, one, he put spinal fusion hardware in a muscle and soft tissue instead of bone. He cut a nerve.
How do you get muscle mixed up with bone?
He just put shit anywhere. He cut a nerve that left permanent foot drop.
Oh my God.
Foot drop is exactly what it sounds like, where the foot doesn't quite lay flat while walking. So really difficult, kind of drag.
Basically can't like lift the toes when you take a step.
Yeah. It's constant risk for fall.
Yeah.
He twisted screws into nerves. I mean, I've had a protrusion touch a nerve, and that's the most
painful thing. Imagine waking up from that.
Yeah, nerve pain is left loose screws that moved around when touched afterwards.
Oh my God.
And that was just one victim.
Oh my God. All that to the same person.
Yeah, that was just one person.
Holy crap.
Lee Passmore was one of the first surgeries he did. He botched his surgery and had to go back and fix it a week later.
Yeah,
and by
the same surgeon, this guy went back. Oh no!
By fix, I mean attempt. He didn't fix it.
Oh.
He had screws into the spinal cord, which cannot be removed, because the patient could then bleed to death.
Oh my God!
Then there's Barry Morgulloff. He woke up unable to walk. Because he was a previous drug user, but had been sober for years, he was refused pain medication. He had to be awful listening to him scream.
Oh my God.
He had bone fragments that were compressing on nerve roots.
Oh.
Which caused permanent damage. Yeah. He's a piece of work. Jerry Summers was Dunch's best friend. He moved to Dallas with him. I don't know when he moved for work, right?
Yeah.
They said he was kind of like his henchman a little bit. Like he was his errand boy.
Okay.
He became his drug dealer. And he even sold drugs to the high school kids in Plano. So I'm like, oh, well, now I know where the source is. So he's not the greatest guy.
Good guy.
But he operated on his best friend, his errand boy.
Oh.
So what's he going to do when he messes him up?
I'm not too worried about this guy, though.
Yeah. But operated on him. And I'm not sure why. He didn't say what he was trying to go in and fix. Maybe he had back pain. And he's like, oh, I could fix that. Which is already a conflict of interest. You can't be working on your own
friend, you shouldn't be working on your own friend.
Nope. So I don't know what he operated on him for, but when he woke up, he was quadriplegic.
Oh my God. And he had to have been something in the neck then.
He was in,
really high up on the spine.
When I saw the documentary, he can kind of shrug his shoulders a little bit.
Yeah.
Completely quadriplegic.
Oh.
His nose was running. Someone had to go and clean his nose. He had a caregiver with him at all times.
This guy was dealing drugs to children, but still, I don't know.
I mean.
Still kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know the whole story. I don't know if he got him into drugs or vice versa or whatever the case may be. That still sucks.
Yeah.
Go to jail. Don't become a quadriplegic.
I know.
Okay, so instead of going back to fix it, which he should have done right away, which they said could have helped.
Yeah.
He didn't. He didn't go back. He said they should have gone back within hours, but he waited 12 hours later, but then it was too late.
Oh, my God.
Jerry admitted to the nurse at some point because Dunch didn't come back to help him. And then when he went to go do it, it was too late, but he kind of left him there. He didn't come back to visit him or like see how he's doing. Like he didn't, what he would do is he'd leave his patients and he'd go on to the next surgery. And so Jerry told a nurse that he was doing, I don't know what this means. I don't know what 8 balls of cocaine are. I don't know. I don't do drugs, so I don't know the terminology, but
I've heard of speedball, which is cocaine mixed with something else. I don't know what 8 ball is.
He said he admitted to the nurse the night before the surgery that he and Dunch did 8 balls of cocaine.
Okay.
So maybe 8 doses of cocaine.
I imagine that's a lot of cocaine.
I mean, any amount of cocaine before surgery.
Before surgery. They probably should be drug testing people that are working at this hospital. But...
The hospital perked up at that. So not only is it a conflict of interest, like I said,
yep,
but he was doing drugs as well. They ordered a peer review and he was finally forced to take a break.
Okay.
Take a break. For a month.
You need a break. Cocaine break.
Then he was told to do, this was a different hospital. So this hospital said, okay, you need to start doing simpler surgeries. Which the last place told him to do, remember?
Maybe he should just not be doing surgeries or practicing medicine.
Yeah, so this is number 3, right?
Yep, mistake number 3.
This is another place that's like...
They could have caught it and stopped it.
Let the public down. Okay, Kelly Martin was the next simple surgery. She only needed a laminectomy. That's the one I had told you about.
Uh-huh.
This is the one that I was going to go into more detail. The simplest surgery a spine surgeon can do, which is... to just decompress a bulging disc.
Right.
A bulging disc isn't one that's exploded yet. It's not. It's still there to help.
Herniated, like we talked about hernias before.
Yeah.
It's kind of poking out.
Yeah, it's poking out.
Where it shouldn't be poking.
And it can poke and hit the nerve.
Yeah.
Which is very, very painful. And so you just want to decompress it a little bit. Just a little bit. So a laminectomy is just, you're just cutting it off just a little bit. Little tuck, right? Little baby tuck. But he punched too far through the spine and cut a major blood vessel.
Of course he did.
And, okay, so this is a rare, rare, rare recurrence for any surgeon to make that mistake.
Not for him.
He refused to listen to anyone in the operating room that was telling him that there was something wrong. He just refused. He was like...
Well, he knows better than them because he's so much smarter than them.
He's a narcissist.
Yeah.
He closed her up without trying to fix it and let her be taken to intensive care for them to fix it.
Oh my God.
Where she died. There was no way to stop the blood.
Imagine how much money he was making on each of these surgeries too. He was just destroying people's lives.
Yeah. So while she bled to death, Floella Brown, his first patient at the Dallas Medical Center. Okay, he cut on the major arteries that supply the blood to the brain.
Oh.
He tried to stop the bleeding and put too much pressure and prevented oxygen to the brain. He did not tell anyone what had happened, which he had a bad habit of doing. He often would do something wrong, but not tell anybody what his mistakes were. So sometimes when another surgeon would go in and fix something, they would know what he did wrong. But he wouldn't admit it so that they could like watch them closer or something. Because they didn't watch her closely and didn't realize that she had less oxygen during the surgery to the brain, she had a stroke that night. And he did not respond to any of the pages they sent for hours. Of course
he didn't. He was partying. He was doing cocaine.
No. He was just doing another surgery. He decided to work on another patient instead that was elective. So he ignored those pages. When he did finally respond, he said he wanted to drill a hole in her head.
What? Was he Jeffrey Dahmer?
Because of the stroke, he thought he was going to relieve pressure. Like, he probably heard it in a movie.
Oh, dear God.
So luckily the hospital refused. He was not qualified to do that kind of a surgery, and they did not have the equipment to do it. They said she needs to be transferred out. And he refused.
Oh,
this is the one that I told you needed to be transferred.
God.
But he refused. When they finally did, well, it was pretty much too late. She was left in a coma. And by the time that they did transfer, she was already brain dead.
Oh, that's horrible.
Okay. So the person that he was working on while she was struggling for her life was Mary Efford. She woke up not being able to feel her legs. Another surgeon was called to help fix her. He said his work was so appalling, he did not think anyone would believe him about what he had to do in order to salvage her back.
God.
So he had everything he did recorded, which was really good because she's the one who they ended up taking to court.
Okay.
Because of all of that documentation.
Thank God she was alive to be able to go to court and testify. And she did survive,
but she...
Was she paralyzed?
She was wheelchair-bound. She's wheelchair-bound probably for the rest of her life, and she probably in a lot of pain.
Oh, that's horrible.
Then there's Jeff Glidewell. Dunch did a biopsy on his neck muscle during surgery because he thought it was a tumor. He cut the esophagus and left an unfixable hole.
Oh.
And when he hit the vertebral artery, it started to bleed. He stuffed a sponge inside and then sewed him back up.
Oh my God.
With the sponge still there. Of course, the sponge caused an infection that almost killed him.
This guy's a monster.
That's what I said. Dunch refused to come back and remove the sponge. After 4 days, other doctors finally stepped in and did it for him. And that's when multiple doctors had to harass the Texas Medical Board to suspend his license.
That's ridiculous.
That they had to harass to do their job.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be helping
this
the
is
public.
An easy job. It was laid out right before them.
Yeah. All medical boards are not there to protect the nurses. They're there to protect the public from incompetent nurses and doctors.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Texas Medical Board has lost their way.
Yes, they have.
So other patients testified to these injuries. A lot of them did already go to civil suit. The Dallas lawyer's office, was it Dallas DA's office?
Uh-huh.
We're like, we need to get this guy off the street. We need not only to take his license away, we need to make sure he doesn't practice again because...
Yeah.
He could very easily go to another state, which is what he was trying to do.
Oh my God.
When he lost his license. Yep. Okay, so other injuries. Some couldn't feel their lower halves of their bodies. Other injuries included loss of urinary function, unable to talk due to vocal cord damage, loss of hair and skin from body stress, no hand control, feeding tubes for extended period of time. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Just
completely destroying people's lives.
He would do, and these are just like some of them. There was 38. I mean, he'd do it over and over again.
Yeah.
So he would screw things into muscle and bone, or muscle and nerve, over and over. It wasn't just one case. It's not like
he learned his lesson.
Yeah. One doctor said it was like he knew what to do and did everything the opposite.
Yeah.
That Mary lady was the final case that took him down. This part blows my mind. His surgeries were a span of just 2 years.
Wow.
Over four hospitals.
38 people.
Let that sink in. Two years. 38 patients. 33 of the 38 were injured. Most life-altering mutilations.
Oh my God.
Two patients died.
Wow.
Finally, by the end of 2013, Dunch lost his medical license.
Finally. Yeah.
First it was suspended, and by the end of the year, it finally got... So, I think it got suspended, like, in February, but it didn't get lost until, like, the end of the year. Not only did this lead his drinking to be more, he started doing shoplifting.
Oh, great.
Random stuff from Walmart. Like, pants and, like, all kinds of stuff. It was just really random. I didn't write all the things down, but it was so random. Okay, everybody knows Walmart has an amazing camera system for shoplifters.
Yeah.
Have they never seen those shows on crime where they will catch somebody because of a Walmart camera?
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place right? in there.
And you can see, you zoom in, you can see the faces. Yeah. You can see what type of underwear they're wearing.
I know.
I mean, this guy's a fucking idiot. Okay.
Yes, he is.
So there was a long list of victims to testify them for themselves and for the ones, of course, that didn't make it. Even his mutilated friend was testifying.
Good.
It was so sad. His ex-girlfriend shared all these incriminating emails that he had sent her. Oh. He said things like, "I'm building an empire and I'm so far out of the box that the earth is small and the sun is bright."
Which, okay.
I don't even know what that means. He also said he was ready to become a cold-blooded killer.
Oh, that's nice.
He was a weirdo.
I think he already was, though, so. Right. So he said that in emails.
I think that was before he started killing. Oh. Before he started hurting people. Well, there you go.
He was correct.
So I think that's why they used those emails as a proof.
Uh-huh.
That he had intention.
Yeah.
He was indicted on 6 cases, which, you know, take what you can get.
Yeah.
He was arrested in a hotel room. I guess he got so low he was staying in a hotel.
Okay.
Didn't even have a
shoplifting
house.
From Walmart.
Yeah, he spent all his drugs.
From Walmart.
Oops. Yeah. I mean, he spent all his money on drugs and he didn't have anywhere to live. Okay. He maintained, as they were arresting him, that 90% of his patients were better. BS! BS.
Better
BS.
Than what?
BS. Yes, better than what he started with.
Better than dead?
So we can add delusion to his character flaw.
Seriously.
It was a good thing they finally arrested him because, like I said, he was in the process of getting his paperwork ready to go to other states.
That is terrifying.
Scary.
I wonder where he was going to try to go next.
I don't.
It didn't say?
Probably somewhere like...
Somewhere close by.
Idaho.
Yeah.
Okay. With so much overwhelming testimony, and we're talking hundreds of witnesses.
Yeah.
Especially from doctors who fixed the mess, witnesses that were in the operating room.
Yeah.
All of them. There was so much. He was charged with 5 counts of aggravated assault and 1 count of harming an elderly person. I'm happy to say that this one doctor did not get away with murder and mayhem.
Yay! Snap.
snap. Those he didn't kill may have well have been because they've lost so much of their own life. I mean,
yeah,
to be in so much pain all the time,
not be able to care for yourself. You're not, you have to wear diapers. You can't walk. You can't.
There's a lot to it.
The people, you know, the guy that was the paraplegic or the quadriplegic. Yeah.
That's the worst one.
That's terrible.
Even though, I mean, I'm not condoning his life choices.
Yeah.
But
he didn't deserve.
Does anyone deserve to be?
To be a quadriplegic. Yeah. Exactly.
Like trapped in your own body like that. Nobody deserves that. People make mistakes. Yeah. And, you know,
I might be able to think of a couple people that,
I mean, I would be okay with him in prison alongside this guy, but anyway, so a life in a restrained quarters is just going to have to do. And I'm sad to say he's trying to appeal this.
Of course he is.
But I don't think he's going to get out.
Yeah.
So most patients, like I said, filed a civil suit. I think some may still be going on. I mean, it's a lot. Some even settled that they were just settled. They didn't even go to court or anything. They're like, yep, this guy, he messed up. We messed up for not catching him. I mean, there was a whole lot. So he was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole in 2045.
Okay.
So he's going to be like in his 70s.
Oh, okay.
There were so many points in the system that this doctor could have been stopped.
Yes.
So many. Starting with the university he attended. So many failed the public by letting a monster loose and with a license to butcher. So what can the public do to protect themselves? Going under the knife is a very vulnerable time. But what about doctors that don't believe in science-based medicine? Like those doctors that were giving their patients hydroxychloroquine. Remember that recent history?
Oh, yeah.
Stella Emanuel, from Texas, also believed that endometriosis was caused by having sex with demons and witches in the patient's sleep.
Wow.
Yeah. What? She had a lot of crazy conspiracy theories. Yeah. And she was a doctor practicing.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's
she also scary. Thought that there is alien DNA being used to treat patients.
Dear God.
She has a long quackery of list.
Ugh.
And she's from Texas. Did I tell you? She's from Texas.
Ugh.
Okay. It's one thing to go to that doctor if you believe what's coming out of her mouth. But what about people who don't watch the news like the rest of us? They don't know that she's believing all this quackery.
Crazy.
Conspiracy.
Completely
right?
Insane.
So the story that the moral of this one is research your doctors.
Yeah.
If you find out they're on the news, maybe do a Google search.
Do a Google search. Yeah.
If they're on the news talking about, you know, demons having sex with their patients,
giving them endometriosis. Maybe, I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
Yeah. Maybe go see another doctor.
Yeah.
One of the signs your doctor is questionable is if they sell their own supplements.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
Literally might mix up their own themselves or have their own brand. Now, doctors that sell their own brand, like on QVC or something like that, those aren't the kind of doctors that you'll be seeing in clinics.
No.
That's usually a doctor who's been a doctor, found some formula that seems to work.
It's like a smaller scale Dr.
Right,
Oz.
And then we'll get into him in a second. but anyway, that's a little bit different. You have to do your own research on those supplements, but they're not going to see you in a clinic.
No.
So if someone's trying to sell you their snake oil, then maybe question it.
Yes.
Another sign is that instead of using evidence-based research, they quote Dr. Oz from TV.
Oh.
I feel like this episode's taking a turn to like that comedian Bill Enville, like, if your doctor promises you miracles, buddy, here's your sign. Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Most doctors will discuss pros and cons with you. If they don't, then ask for them. If they are so arrogant to say that there's no cons, here's your
That's
sign.
That's a lie. Every single drug has a side effect.
Drug or treatment.
Or surgery. Treatment, yeah. Yes. Or non-pharmacological
Especially
treatment.
Surgery. There's always going to be a complication.
Yes.
Here's your sign. When things don't go to plan and they blame the patient. Here's your sign.
Yep.
Google the doctor. There's a Rate Your Doctor site. So if you do have a good doctor, then give them a good rating.
Yes.
So that people can have feedback from real people. But when Googling, take those ratings with a grain of salt, because it's kind of like the restaurants on Yelp. I mean, they might get doctored a little bit. Pun intended.
Like if your doctor doesn't give you the Percocet that you accidentally flushed on your toilet, you know, the next day.
Yeah. So
don't give them a bad review. That's not fair.
Yeah. You kind of like that. When I go on Amazon and I'm reading reviews and I see because the package came messed up because their FedEx driver threw it on their porch. Yeah. Or that's not
but they leave a bad product review. Yeah. People.
So you gotta, you gotta kind of read the reviews and kind of do your own judgment.
Don't just look at the star rating.
Okay. And then find out where they went to school. And if if that included training in the field that they're actually working in.
Yeah.
So you don't want an ortho surgeon if you're having brain surgery.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yes.
And research the suggested treatment plan. Look for other doctors' support. See if there is anything published. Often you can access medical journals or peer reviews from a library for free. You can go on and see if that treatment is been endorsed by other people. And lastly, if you have a family member in the medical field that you can go to and not only help you with intimidating medical jargon, have them use their bullshit detector to help you figure out if that doctor is BSing you or not.
Yep.
Because I will guarantee you any nurse I know can tell you if a doctor is full of themselves or is a good doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So, no offense to doctors.
No offense to the doctors that are full of themselves.
There are so many great doctors out there.
There are. I work with a really great doctor. I've learned many, many things from him. Yeah.
So having a doctor like this gives a bad name to all the other neurosurgeons who do back surgeries.
Exactly.
It puts us back too many decades.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, well.
I hope I never need back surgery.
I hope that all helps. I hope that people aren't scared of getting treatment if they need it. Because we've now armed you with how to educate yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And hopefully got a good story that was shocking and all that. Okay.
That was a great story. I'm a little sad, though. I'm glad he's in prison.
I'm more sad that it came from Texas because that just makes me angry that my state let me down.
I know.
But that's not surprising. All right. We will catch you in the next episode where we were going to have some more... carnival Woo-hoo! Sideshow acts, interesting rare disorders. See you then. Bye.